Exactly what Ben was talking about and what's going to happen at that retreat is that everyone who comes in contact with us, everyone who calls this place home, would experience deep, meaningful relationship with Jesus Christ. Period. Everything that we do has that foundation. Life with God, interwoven through everything that we say, everything that we do. There's nothing that is programmatic that does not have that as its base. Because our desire really is to hear from God. You don't need to hear from me. You don't need to hear from Lance or Ben or anybody else. We desperately want to hear the voice of Christ because he is our head. He is the head of the church. And just as our physical bodies does not think independently, its members does not think independently. Like your hand does not have the capacity to think. Sometimes we think our mouths have their own minds. But we as members of our bodies do not have the capacity to think on their own. It should be the same with the body of Christ. The head needs to be the one that's the lead voice. The one that is heard above every other voice. And so when we talk about spiritual gifts, it's all in that context. That Jesus Christ, as the head, speaks, communicates, directs, encourages, exhorts his body to move and to act within his kingdom. We have the opportunity for communion with Jesus Christ. And so when we talk about spiritual gifts, it may be a little confusing. Because in our world today, when someone gives you a gift, what's the expectation? That you'll take that gift and you will determine how to use, how to direct that gift, what the result of that gift will be. And yet a spiritual gift is given for the edification of the body. Now, are there spiritual gifts that are more in communion with the individual and God? Yes, there is. And we'll talk about one of those this morning. But when God gives spiritual gifts, it is for the individual edification with the Father, but it is for the body. And as a result, God gives those gifts for the edification of the body, that the body would be unified under the head. Not that the body's members would be determining and dictating where that gift is used and how that gift is used. So when we talk about spiritual gifts, there are two important points. One, they are for the body, for the edification of the body. And two, those gifts are given by the Holy Spirit as he determines. Those gifts then are used in the ministries by which the Lord has put them in place. And those ministries then are having effect wherever God sees fit. It is not about you and the expression of your gift. It is about the Holy Spirit giving gifts in order the body would be edified, that almost you would be out of the picture. God's desire is for unity, and that unity then would be an expression of who he is to the world. That's why 1 Corinthians 13 is crucial. You wonder why Paul, in the midst of talking about spiritual gifts, sandwiches the love chapter in there. It's more about, it goes farther than that just being read in weddings. That is a body dynamic, a foundation of the body, how the body interacts with one another is love. And let me tell you, you can't love like that. I can't love like that. That is an impossibility to love like Paul has said love is. You know why? Because God's love. And it's his Spirit who works through us that we would have the opportunity to love that way. It's not a goal. It's not a standard. It's not something you strive for. It's something that puts you in a place of dependence upon the Holy Spirit to love like that. Only Jesus has expressed that to us in bodily form. When he came and he did what he did, selflessly, sacrificially. That love chapter is a description of God's love at work through us. Once again, it's all centered around unifying and edifying the body. So, Paul continues the discussion in 1 Corinthians 14 about gifts. So he says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit, but the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues. So Paul's saying, there's nothing wrong with speaking in tongues. It's a gift. But I would rather have you prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues unless someone interprets it so that the church may be edified. The goal here is to hear from God. The goal here is to be linked to God, to be under the headship of Jesus Christ. Once again, nothing wrong with tongues. But in the expression of tongues is a individual blessing, which God gives you gifts to enjoy on your own. This life with God is individual, but it is corporate. And so what Paul is saying here is, like he said earlier, I think a couple chapters ago, desire those greater gifts. Greater gifts not meaning the ones that give more attention to yourself. Not greater gifts, the ones that I can stand and be glorified, that I can amplify myself, that I can put myself in a better position than you as a greater gift. But those greater gifts that mirror more the life of Christ, that is so much other than. Desire the gifts that put you in service and submission and in love relationship with others, that you wouldn't be seen. It's almost exactly the opposite. I believe Paul says, desire those greater gifts that put you in a position to be poured out for the body. Prophecy. He would rather us prophesy. What is he saying? He would rather us have the opportunity in our relationship with God to be able to convey the heart and the thoughts of God to others. That's the goal, is it not? To hear the voice of God and to respond. Prophecy edifies the body. Yet so many times, even the prophecy, the prophetic, those gifts that hear from God and respond causes disjointment in the body. Not only prophecy, but other things cause disjointment or sometimes disunity in the body. When we take a gift and try to manipulate it, when we take a gift and try to focus the attention on ourselves, when we try to dictate and determine how a gift is used, when the gift is used, and where the gift is used, there's dissension. There's disunity. Because the members of the body are thinking and acting independently. Have you ever heard music that is disjointed? Where instruments sort of take their own place and think, I'm going to go this way, and vocals sort of go the other way? Well, I did some research, and there is a song I want you to hear that is considered by Wikipedia and other sources the worst, ugliest recorded soundtrack that has been populated. I want you to listen. It'll put a chill down your spine. I don't know if you heard, but the drum had a few different tempos in there, just interspersed and up and down. And that's okay because the guitarist, they're all sisters, by the way, the guitarists were all doing their own little thing, and they were going on their own tempo. And I sat there and listened, and it made my skin crawl. And yet I think there's a message that these girls want to proclaim. Now, if you see the lyrics, they're about as bad as the music, but they're trying to convey a message, but yet it's getting lost because the music is so bad. And that is like us sometimes. We have gifts. God comes by His Spirit and gives us spiritual gifts that are beautiful, that are meant to be in harmony and unity within the body, because the body has something to express, that God says, I want to convey a message to the world about me, about my grace, about salvation. But yet, His body takes these gifts and goes off and does their own thing, on their own tempo, not submitted to the head. And so we all are determining how we're going to do it, and it usually ends up that it's me-focused. The body has been given gifts in order to be unified, to convey a message. And how can that message be conveyed if it's not through the Spirit of God? We can give you the soundtrack to that if you like. 1 Corinthians, continuing verse 6. So Paul talks about this a little bit. Now, brothers and sisters, if I come to you and speak in tongues... Which, once again, tongues oftentimes is that communion. It's a prayer language between the individual and God. Paul is saying, if I want to stand on a grandstand and start speaking all these tongues, start speaking in languages, oftentimes a prayer language, what good is it? What good will I be to you unless I bring you some revelation or knowledge? Revelation or knowledge is what God only can give us. We have no idea who He is. We have no idea about His salvation. We have no idea about His kingdom unless He reveals that truth to us. Where am I? Revelation or knowledge, or prophecy or word of instruction, or taking that knowledge that God gives us and conveying it to the body. What good is tongues, especially if no one's interpreting it? Even in the case of lifeless things that make sounds, such as a pipe or a harp, how will anyone know what tune is being played unless there is a distinction in the notes? Again, if the trumpet does not sound a clear call, who will get ready for battle? What was the bugle used for? To unify the troops, was it not? That there would be a directive from the commander on what the troops were to do, and it was conveyed through the bugle. And if the bugle didn't hit the right notes, there would be no unification. Some would be charging, some would be retreating. It was clear that bugle had to have a message that everyone would understand, and that everyone then would follow. So what is with you unless you speak intelligible words with your tongue? How will anyone know what you are saying? You will just be speaking into the air. Undoubtedly, there are all sorts of languages in the world that none of them is without meaning. If then I do not grasp the meaning of what someone is saying, I'm a foreigner to the speaker, and the speaker is a foreigner to me. Just exactly the opposite of what God wants within the body. So it is with you. Since you are eager for gifts of the Spirit, try to excel in those things that built up the church. I'm assuming that the church in Corinth, as the Spirit was giving gifts to that place, I'm assuming that there were people that were saying, man, if I could just speak like that person, if I could just lead like that person, if I could just do these things like that person, then I would have the opportunities that that person has. All the while forgetting that it's the Spirit who determines the gifts, it's the Lord that puts those into ministries, and it's God who puts them in places of effect. And Paul says, great, desire gifts. But like he said earlier in this chapter, you got to pursue love. What did he say? Follow the way of love. Follow the way of love. And then desire those gifts that edify and build up the church. There's a message that needs to be proclaimed about our intimacy with God, about those things that we want to as God gives us hunger for Him, to be in communion with Him. It's not an individual thing that God wants us to keep. It is to be conveyed to the world in unity as the Spirit gifts His church. There's a message to proclaim. I think of the woman in the well, right? She met Jesus at the well. You realize that that is one of the only times that he was as explicit about who he was with that woman, that Samaritan woman. And he said, she was talking about the Messiah, him coming, and he says, I'm here. It's me. What'd she do? Can I go with you? Can I go with you where you're going? She ran back to the village to everyone she knew, and she said, there's a man that told me everything that I have ever done. There's a message to be proclaimed. Spiritual gifts is a part of conveying that message. I've seen, over the last 7 years, I've seen God do some things here that He took us all on a journey. He's given us themes. He's revealed truth to us. And they've sort of been, patterned and interwoven through all of our lives. So when we come together, there's testimony of God speaking to us. That's the goal, is it not? That we would all experience life with God. That He is a communicative God. He wants to reveal truth to us about Himself and about us. And that He does that in a body dynamic. I've seen that happen. It's beautiful. As you have testimony, and as I have testimony, as everyone has testimony, it's sort of interwoven in our relationships, and it brings us closer together. There's bonds that happen by God's Spirit. It's a beautiful thing. It's not about someone getting up here, experiencing God, standing here on a Sunday morning for an hour and a half to 2 hours, saying, this is what God said. Thus saith the Lord. Now, take that, chew on it, and next week we'll continue in 1 Corinthians. That's not it. It's about all of us experiencing life with God, receiving knowledge and truth about Him, about salvation, about His Son, and then engaging one another in life. Spiritual giftings has a place there. It has a place in relationship, founded by what Paul said Christ's love is in chapter 13. We have that opportunity to share life that way. I think of when Satan was tempting Jesus, and he said, you need sustenance for life. You need to sustain life. Tell these rocks to become bread. What did Jesus say? I live off of every word that comes from my Father's mouth. It's the same for us. David said in Psalm chapter 109, your words are sweet. How sweet are your words to my taste? Yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 19. Here's what Paul says. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Holy Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with the Lord's holy people. Do you recognize that? That you would have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. He doesn't say that you would have power in order to be on display, demonstrating these spiritual gifts, that the world could see you. He says that you would have the power together as God's people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. That is it. That is life with God. Him giving an understanding of who he is, knowledge and truth about his son, about what his son has done, about salvation, that we would have spiritual gifts as the Spirit determines through the body, all these things interwoven, founded in love, that we would understand, grasp the magnitude of the love that Christ has for us. That's a pretty good journey to be on, is it not? As that as the end goal, as that as the result, life with God, to understand, for him to give us understanding of his love. Let's pray. Father, I will admit that I have no ability to understand the mysteries of your love. But we rejoice in the fact and are grateful that you have chosen to reveal these things to us, that you would reveal mysteries to us. And yet, so many times, I want to take those things you share with me and just dwell on them in my relationship with you. But for your spiritual gifts that you give to the body, you want to use those in order to edify the body, that my life would not be lived in isolation with my gifts and the things that you've given to me. I thank you that that's your character and that's the way you operate. I thank you that you're generous and you share and you give. Would your Holy Spirit empower us to live through us, in order that in the giving away of ourselves, in the expression of your Spirit's gifts, that we would come to understand at a deeper level the magnitude of your love. I thank you, God, that you are who you are.